So when does Christmas start?
Now?
That's a terrible question.
In my heart?
Yeah.
It never ends. Yeah. In her heart.
When does Christmas music get into the rotation?
Well, that's a funny question because recently
all year
I did, you know how like they have the Dan Roth station
phone. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And
so I had it in the car and so I played the Dan Roth station. And so it was a pretty eclectic mix.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a worship song every now and then. What's funny is people have been sending me country western songs.
Yeah.
And so there was like country stuff mixed in there.
Yeah.
Little rap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the
not bad rap, Christian rap.
Christian rap. C rap. Yeah. Right, that kind of rap. Yeah. So, it had all this stuff, you know, and then obviously the stuff that I listened to, you know, in the early 2000s and stuff like that. Some of the old.
He's banging
old jams. But,
you know, those are coming. Those are like. People,
like
it's we're actually vintage.
On the way here, man, how cool would it be instead of like the Metallica and the AC/DC shirts? Yeah. Let's have Striper, like to hell with the devil. That'd be awesome. You know what I mean?
And I bet you
Petra means rock.
Those would pop off.
Oh man,
those
the old T-Bone stuff. Yeah. T-Bone goes to our church.
That
man,
would
so,
pop off.
Yeah, I can talk to him about that.
For
but
sure.
Man, that'd be fun to have some of those old tour shirts of the Christian bands.
Christian
but
bands.
In the middle of this whole thing, all of a sudden, here comes Chris Tomlin singing.
A door.
Yeah. And my wife is over there beaming.
And our son.
Yeah.
He was like, that's right.
Yeah. And I was like,
I've raised my children right.
And you know, I didn't have the heart to switch the song.
Yeah.
So
I just
let them have their moment and moved on. But it was way too early for me. I mean, it's 95 degrees outside right now.
Okay, but listen.
In October in California.
This church is massive and I have to decorate it. So I have to think about Christmas in like July.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to make a plan for that. And then I have
which
to
I think is appropriate. Christmas in July. I mean, that's
Christmas
a whole
in
thing.
July. I actually had a play with one of our old play people used to do plays for us. Jess.
Play people.
And she's awesome.
She was real
and
though, right?
Yeah. She wrote
she's
a play for Christmas in July.
Oh,
and
there
so
we go.
She keeps asking me every year, do you want to do it? Do you want to do it? And I'm like, I don't have time.
Yeah.
So
no,
maybe we'll
the
get
classics.
It one year.
I used to do guessing games, like music guessing games with Drew before he could read. So I would just do the Christmas classic playlist and
nice.
I taught him. Like, and we would just go through and he'd have to know. Like, so now he'll list the first couple songs and tunes.
Yep.
And he's like, and he's like, he knows it. I'm dreaming of, and like, so it's just fun.
There was
awesome.
Show about that, I believe, for a while with one of the guys from Whose Line Is It Anyways, where you had to like guess that.
Oh, guess that tune?
You know,
is that
yeah, it's really,
is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Christmas
so
edition.
So Christmas season is upon us, even though Halloween is tomorrow.
Well, by the time this airs, it will be November 1.
Yeah.
What day is it?
And our segue actually is we'll be leaving October, which October is Pastors Appreciation Month.
Whoa.
Yeah, which we really didn't even know.
Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. I am here not just with Pastor Dan, as usual, but also Pastor Jessica is with us today. And it's a special occasion, not just because you're both here, but because we are talking about, and I think it's really important, not just to honor pastors, but it is Pastors Appreciation Month. But there's a lot of questions, I think, about that I see arising and really on the value of pastors and local church pastors and sometimes why honor. They're just men and women of God and all that good stuff. But I think the heart behind our conversation is really educational and empowering as well for us to know and to be edified. And so I have my pastors here today in front of me. And so I wanted to ask you, even if we want to start off with some stories of your experiences with your pastors or growing up, been influential in your life. And then let's get into some of the crux of why pastors are important and what we should be aware of. Because as many wonderful pastors as there are on social media that we have access to now that we didn't used to, a local church pastor and what that means.
Yeah.
So any opening thoughts?
Well, I know that you've had one main pastor your whole life, your dad.
Yeah.
You know, and
I grew up at a pastor's home.
Yeah. And so she got to see behind the scenes and knows a lot more about that. You know, she had to guide me through a lot of that process and the thinking and all that kind of stuff. But I've had two pastors really that I sat under, if you will.
Yeah.
One was Dr. Rich Hall, who now attends the Rock Church World Outreach Center. And so some of you guys listening, if you've ever called into the church with pastoral care issues, you may have received a phone call from Pastor Rich at the Rock.
Yeah. Pretty
that
cool.
was my
He's
pastor.
Yeah.
No, it's really fun because his son actually mentored me early on in my Christian
walk.
He was my SPT. Yeah, he was my faith-filled friend, if you will, since we've been changing that language.
Yeah.
But he was one of them. One of them, Tom Deeks was another who used to attend the Rock too. And great people poured into my life, taught me a lot about God. John Hall would take me on surf trips. I remember going with him and just, you know, talking about the Bible and
he's
just
still doing that.
Yes, yeah, amazing man of God and yeah. just a wonderful, wonderful guy. And so, yeah, so Dr. Hall was my pastor. And, you know, I remember it's funny because we taught the book of Hebrews, you know, in the past 10 years sometime.
Yeah, yeah.
but I remember being under Dr. Hall teaching the book of Hebrews, you know, line upon line.
Wow.
And so just really, really cool. And then my second pastor was Pastor Jim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was my pastor until the day he went to be with the Lord. And so currently I do have a pastor, quote unquote, if you
yeah.
will, in
yeah.
that in that sense of that there's a man that can speak into my life, and that's Diego Mesa.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, Pastor Jim told him before he passed, he said, would you check in on Dan? Would you, you know, just be there for him,
yeah.
you know, take him to lunch and do, you know, and so I know if I have questions, if I have needs,
yeah.
anything like that. And someone to speak into my life in that arena mm-hmm. that I can talk to Pastor Diego. I know you.
You have a lot of them though. It's not just Diego. You have a lot of.
I do have some great guys. Yeah,
check that in with you and check on your heart. And,
yeah.
And you can call and be like, hey, what do you think about this?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know Diego's there for both of us. He is on the board of directors here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center and does speak into our lives. Pastor Deborah is still here on the planet and mm-hmm. she still speaks into our lives as well. She's
yeah.
wonderful and just amazing. She's going to do a weekend coming up and we're excited about that.
Awesome.
So be neat. And she hasn't preached here since RockCon, but
yeah.
She's been up with Pastor Luke
yeah.
up in Oregon and she
yeah.
did preach at his church. Oh man, I just dropped my phone underneath
Ooh,
the
yes,
table.
You so felt it coming up.
I felt it sliding. Yeah. I had it there. I didn't want to put it on the tabletop, but maybe I should have. Thank you. My man.
So,
on
yeah.
The
we have
there.
Lots of pastors in our lives. Mm-hmm. Too many.
Yeah.
Like
too many?
Honestly,
can you have too many pastors?
I think I grew up different than Dan. Like
yeah.
I didn't know anything but a pastor's world. I was in all the green rooms, the biggest stages you
mm-hmm.
could possibly think of.
Mm-hmm.
If you called celebrity pastor,
right.
I was in those back rooms
right.
as a kid. And so I had to overcome some things. Like because I lived with two people that were literally who they were.
Mm.
Like they were in the pulpit who they were at home.
Yeah.
But I didn't always see that personally in other arenas. So I do believe our church was very incredibly blessed to have real pastors
mm-hmm.
that cared for the people and put in the time and poured into the people.
Yeah.
Did we all get it right? No.
Yeah.
Nobody gets it right. No pastor is perfect.
Right.
But it was harder for me to even take on the pastorship. Like, I remember when they ordained me, I was so scared.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't know if I want this.
Yeah.
Like, if this is what you're asking God.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
In because fact, there's a picture of your ordination where you and someone else are standing next to each other. The other person has a smile on their face and you didn't have a smile because you were just like.
It was dread.
Deer
yeah.
in the headlights, yeah.
yeah.
Because I had seen the sacrifice my parents had
mm-hmm.
made.
Mm-hmm.
I had been in the rooms when my parents were crying because people were mean to them. I saw the hard side of ministry.
Yeah.
I saw my dad having to have a side business to keep the church alive.
Mm-hmm.
And then people make videos about him and saying he was taking from the church. No, this church wouldn't even be here
mm-hmm.
if my dad did not have a business.
Right.
Not getting paid for years. I mean, the sacrifice that goes into pastoring, people
yeah.
have no idea.
Right.
And they like to judge quickly and harshly. And so I had to get over that. Like, okay, I'm not my parents. I'm in a new, like, in a new arena that God is asking me to step into. And that was really like, it was just very turbulent. It was very hard.
Mm-hmm.
It was right when 2020 came around. There was a lot of hurt that was happening in
yeah.
those seasons. His dad had just passed away. My brother was just moving to Oregon. I mean, there was like, so all that I knew that was like so tight
yeah.
was just like kind of unraveling.
Mm.
And then it was like, okay, and now we're pastoring. We have to make these extreme harsh decisions that honestly affect a lot of people.
Right.
So it's no longer like, I'm just making a decision for my family.
Yeah.
You know, it's making a decision. It's going to affect a lot of people
right.
across the board.
Yeah.
I would say pastoring, you know, I grew up in an honor culture.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I remember honoring every pastor that came and we were taught to honor those that would come and be in this house and,
yeah.
and minister and be very respectful of them. Because they're leaving their families to come here.
Mm-hmm.
They're having to be alone with God to come get a message for the people. I mean, it's a very, people don't understand the intensity of it. We had one guy in our life say, I took speech class. I could do it. And it's like, no, it has nothing to do with speech class. Like,
yeah.
It helps to have some of those practical tips and tools, but there's something about pastoring that's spiritual, you know, and
very spiritual and the weight of it.
Yeah. And I think even the definition, because there are people who have come to me and said, I don't see the difference in your church, because we have people that are ordained that are reverends, mm-hmm. and then we have people that are ordained that are pastors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people say, what's the difference? They marry, they bury, they, counsel, they, love the people and this and that. But there is an anointing, and there is a mantle. There is a shepherd's heart. And I think that's the biggest thing, because even all throughout the Bible, you see that God had something with shepherds. Mm-hmm. There was something about these sheep, right? And we're all the sheep of God's pastors. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the great shepherd. That means that really Jesus is the great pastor, mm-hmm. right? He's shepherding his flock. He's leading his people. King David, greatest king Israel ever knew, was a shepherd before he was ever king.
Right.
God wanted that heart. Moses, before he led the people out of Egypt in bondage, was
like
a shepherd.
The definition of pastor is
a shepherd.
To fold the sheep.
You refer to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 1 in the Amplified, to nurture, guard, guide, and fold the flock of God. Yeah. That is your responsibility. That's in the Amplified Bible.
And
it defines what that is.
Mandate.
Yeah.
Serious. Like, I don't take that lightly. I don't think you do either.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's serious. I did not see my parents take that lightly. And, you know.
And I'll say this. Most men and women
of
God who are pastors and shepherds, they're serious about it. They are great.
They love it.
They love the people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a challenge for them, but they are committed and get through it.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about the abuses and the things that you saw, I'm sure that wasn't the rule. That was
it was not the rule. And you know, I think that's why we have the no honor culture now.
Yeah.
So I think we're living in a new time where now everybody's like, well, call them out on it. Call, you know, like what I see, you know. And there's just no respect for, number one, older people.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, authority.
Yeah.
We don't understand authority. So, oh, I could be a Christian and not go to church. Yeah, but God ordained us as Christians to be set up in the ecclesia, the house of God, so that we're under a shepherd who is spending time with God on our behalf to be able to feed us spiritually what God needs us to hear.
Yeah.
Number two, you step into a church and there is a faith that's released in a congregation, and it is a corporate anointing that people come together and we build each other up in the most holy faith.
Right.
When we're lacking those things,
then
who is speaking into your life?
Mm-hmm.
Are you your own voice, your own God? And you're saying, you know, like, where do you have anybody in your life that you can say, used to be people would come to their pastor and say, hey, I'm thinking about this change in my life. You know, I want to get your wisdom on it. I'm not going to make a move until you pray about it too with me. Mm-hmm. Will you pray with me on that?
Yeah.
And then I'll move forward. I mean, in our time, that's how it was.
Yeah. And we've asked those questions.
Yeah. I can't even remember the last time somebody's actually let me in on their life and want our spiritual opinion on that. Like, I don't think
we do spiritual guidance, and there are a few people who will set up an appointment, come in, talk to us.
And actually listen to us, though.
You know, I have noticed that it's funny because, you know, with numbers during the year, our funerals have gone up.
Mm-hmm.
They've, like, doubled,
which
is crazy, you know, especially in a large church. That's, you know, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty wild how many funerals we've done in the past years. But, from 2020 on, they've been kind of just exponentially growing. But I've noticed the number of spiritual guided sessions going down. Used to be that we'd have, you know, 4, 5, 6 a week at this church.
And
now
come get help.
Now it's 2. Yeah. A high week is maybe 4.
Mm.
You know, that's a big week. Whereas 6 would be like, oh, my gosh, wow, people have been busy, you know.
And it's not that people don't have problems anymore.
Because
they do. I hear it at the back door. And I'm like, hey, you need to make an appointment because we need to spend some more time in this. I can't talk to you about this, like, in between services. I don't have enough time to hit that
so
up.
So this maybe leads us in a different direction, because I think some of the things I would see is some of that is a response to a couple different things. Obviously, there's pendulums that we've seen.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a time when there was like the shepherding movement, right, where it was like you have to go to your pastor to find out where you're going to wear it today. You know, obviously, that's an extreme.
Right.
But
so
it was kind of like guidance for everything, and you're checking in for every little thing. And so
just to define the shepherding movement,
right,
they would tell you who to marry, what car to buy,
yeah,
where you were going to live, all that kind of stuff, which
is
not what we're defining shepherding as.
And that's what I think is the distinction.
No, it's
right.
It's a partnering. Like,
that was an abuse.
We're thinking about this. Will you Will you pray too? I would like to get your
Yeah, this is something that's available in spiritual guidance, you know, nurture, guard, guide, and fold the flock of God. A shepherd can say, hey, you need to think about these things. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had people come to me and say, hey, I got a job and I have to move out of state. My first question is where are you going to church? Right?
Absolutely.
And then, you know, oftentimes when I talk to people, they don't have any plan for that. Yeah. You know, they just believe for a new job and God bless them. And they thought, this is wonderful. I'm going, you know. I would have backed up the truck and said, hey, has God called you to that job?
Yeah.
You know, have you prayed about that? Well, I was praying for a new job and here's a new job, but is that the one that God wants for you? I'm not going to answer that question. I'm like the shepherding movement. I'm not going to tell you, yes, you do that. No way. You hear from God. But a good shepherd will guide the flock and say, hey, have you thought about these things? Same thing with, you know, hey, we're thinking about getting married. Can we come in? I'm delighted when young people come and say, hey, we're thinking about getting married.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we come and talk
it's
to somebody?
Fun.
Yeah.
And I know that it kind of throws our receptionists kind of off, like, we don't do meetings until you're ready to get married. Well, no, we want to find out if we're ready to get married,
exactly.
You know?
I love that.
I love that because it's like, hey, we want to make sure that we're getting spiritual insight, wisdom, and counsel.
Yeah. Yep.
And we're able to say, hey, look at these things. What are you thinking about? We can see these things in your lives. These are great things about you too. We can see why you would want to be together. Pray about these things together. Think about these things. Consider these areas. And then let's come back and talk about it again.
Well,
you know?
I know I've told people, like, there is no ring. You guys don't have some
That's
of these.
Right.
And so it sounded harsh at the time. Time goes by in an instance. They ended up breaking up and coming back to me later. Like, thank you. Because that gave me a mind frame of, because they were approaching their dating as if they were married already.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of putting up with stuff that was unhealthy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in marriage, hey, we work through things and we go to. But you don't have to do. If there are red flags in dating, let's
run.
Oh man,
like that's okay.
Yeah.
Can I tell a funny story? Yeah, there's a funny pastoring story. Early on in my pastorate, I was like the Monday guy. You know, no one else was here on Mondays and Tuesdays. There might have been one or two other pastors, but I think they caught on that I would answer the phone, and so anything that crawled in the front office, they would send to me. You know, and I would be praying for people and talking to people, all this kind of stuff. And I mean, just the most. And when I say crawled in, in some ways, in a literal sense,
well,
it was.
They don't
just
know what area we're in.
We're in San Bernardino. There's just a lot of issues, and
just comes to our door.
So I mean,
they don't go to our church. They,
it was just shy of casting demons out because I probably didn't recognize it at that time. But yeah, and so we were doing the young adults, and I had a young adult couple. It was my first kind of official spiritual guided session, and we come and we sit down. And I say hello, and I mention the guy's name, and he puts his hand up, and he says, stop, please use my stage name. And I'm like, and then he tells me a stage name, and I was just like, okay, wow, this is how we're starting, you know.
Podcast, we won't say.
I'm not going to call anyone out just in case.
The artist,
you know,
formerly known as.
Yeah, the internet these days, you know, I could have probably done this.
It was definitely one of those pastor moments where you're like, don't make a face.
Yeah, wow. So I just used that name for the rest of the spiritual guidance session. Yeah. I played along. And, but I mean, they were asking this question. He says, I spoke into the air and I said, she will be my wife. And the girl looks at me and goes, I have to be his wife. And I was just like, what the heck?
So they like really wanted, like, I think, do I, they almost wanted to be off the hook or on, know if they were on the hook.
I think that maybe
he wanted him to make her beyond, like, I don't know.
I think beyond that, I think, you know, again, doctrines, right? In the word of faith movement, you know, you can have what you say.
Yeah.
Which, if you look in the Bible, you know, there are some great scriptures that talk about our tongue, that it guides our lives.
Yeah.
You know, death and life are in the power of tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit, right? There's some great scriptures that we know.
Yeah.
Hey, watch your words and be careful about what you say, but also speak good things.
Yeah.
And you can declare the word of God over your life, and you can have those things.
But people twist it.
Yeah. Right? When you stand praying, believe that those things that you say you have, and you will have them, right? That's out of the mouth of Jesus, right? So without getting into the abuse and, again, the error of that doctrine, I think that they were on that side of, I spoke this out into the air.
Yeah, yeah.
It's in the atmosphere now. Is this... Have
it's
we
what
spoken
you would call
something
nowadays
into
is manifestation?
Right. Yeah,
kind
of, that's
manifesting
sort of thing.
It.
Yeah.
And so
out.
They were asking, do we have to get married now that he said that? Because neither of them honestly really wanted to get married.
Oh,
and so it was kind of a short session because no, you don't have to do it just because he said it. I mean, do you want to get married? No.
Right.
Do you want to get married? No, we're having problems. Okay, then split up. You know? But that was, again, they came to a pastor. Mm-hmm. They got guidance. Yeah. They heard the word of God.
And that's so important. I think that's missing. I think another thing why pastors.
And then I never saw them again.
Never saw them again. And I think it's important because I was thinking about when you were talking about this is you are a part of a family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you join a church, you're part of that church culture. You're mm-hmm. part of the, like if you can picture an umbrella.
Yeah.
And you're under that anointing.
Yeah.
And God gives that pastor an mm-hmm. anointing to shepherd that flock.
Yep.
And so when you choose to just leave a church mm-hmm. and you haven't talked to God about it and you haven't talked to your pastor about it, you are actually putting yourself from under that covering, which under that covering, there is a protection.
Yeah.
There's an anointing.
Blessing.
There's a blessing. Yeah. There's a favor. And so we understand that, but I don't know if most of the congregation sitting in a church service understands the power of that. Mm-hmm. And so when you do like move and you haven't looked for a new family.
Yeah.
Spiritually to connect with.
Yeah.
That's so important for your children. It's important for your teenagers. It's important for you.
Yeah.
It's important for your wife.
Yep.
Gentlemen need to hear this. Women need other women.
Yeah.
And so we need to have that connection. Mm-hmm. And so they need to have those safe places. And if it's not the church, where will those safe places be?
Because
they will find it somewhere else.
Yeah.
In the world, they'll find it through the wrong friends at school. Who knows?
Yeah.
And we have seen it how many times? They Tons. Leave the church, they good intentions, wonderful people. But if they never have a church to go to, they all stop serving God. In fact, one of them, I just saw her online and I love her.
Yeah.
And I was sad. She was, it's Halloween. She was dressed up like a witch with a whole bunch of other witches.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, what happened to her?
Yeah.
Like how she would have never been okay with, you know, doing those things before. And so now I've seen other posts too. She's not serving God at all. Right. So at this point, I'm like, what does that do for us as pastors? It breaks our heart.
Right. Well, I mean,
it breaks our heart.
I wouldn't call myself a green thumb, but I was raised by green thumb. So maybe I have a semi green thumb. And I know in planting, if you buy a plant, it's in the pot from what's called, you remove the pot. You got to prepare the soil where it's going to now go. You don't buy a plant, take it out of the pot, take it out of its soil, and then just set it on the ground.
Yeah.
You prepare you put it into new ground that's gonna be good. So if you are moving, if you are transplanting into somewhere else, you make sure that you're gonna be in good soil, that you're gonna get water, that you're gonna give you and your family the nutrients that it needs to continue to grow. No one says, I wanna stop growing today.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If people do move, it's because it's they feel like it's something that's good for their family. So they've set everything else up. They got a new house, a new bank account.
Yeah, totally.
But they haven't prepared the ground for their spiritual growth. Yep. And I think that's where our pastor hearts break because, like, man, you lined up. You would have never moved without knowing what job or having some kind of semblance.
Yeah.
Right? You prepared everything else. You got the DMV as soon as you got there to get a new license plate, to get a new light, but no church, no new family. And so those are the things that we understand the value of importance, not because we're so egotistical, but because we value and care for your soul.
We actually care, and I think sometimes people don't realize how much we care.
Right.
I've had people leave the church and never tell me, and then it's so awkward. Right. Like,
because they assume you don't even know their name, you wouldn't care.
Yeah, but I've had people that actually have a relationship with me and have seen me, and I don't know if they've left or not because they never came to me. So then it's like awkward, and I'm like,
see him in the store.
Right, yeah.
Do I not say something? Yeah. Like, I don't know what to do because I've had people yell at me. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me, Pastor? Yeah. I may not be there every week. And then you're so you my gosh. Anything. Like, okay, sorry. You know, like, but I haven't seen you.
That's why I say, I haven't seen you in a while. How you been? What have you been up to? You know, and sometimes that brings up the awkward conversation.
Yeah.
I appreciate the people, though, that even if they're in disagreement,
yeah,
that come and want to be prayed out.
Absolutely.
Because again, when I pray for them, and especially when I know where they're going, you know, because there have been people who disagreed with the way that we do things, which that's okay. You don't have to agree about everything. But they wanted to go to another church.
Right.
And we were able to take a moment and pray with them and bless them into the hands of that other shepherd. I believe there's a spiritual transference that takes place under God's authority and care that I was anointed to shepherd and pastor. Now we're transferring that over to this other shepherd, you know, and they never come out from underneath covering.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's it's just they go from one
family,
one home to the next, and they're healthy.
Yeah.
And we see them around and they're doing good. Their families are good. Their kids grew up serving the Lord because they did it right. Even when in disagreement, they chose to love. They chose to open it up and be truthful and honest and say, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. Let's talk about it. And then when we pray them out and they go to another shepherd, they end up happy in that church, you know?
I've had to learn that over time because it's, you know, because it hurts initially. Oh, yeah. They're leaving and they're like, oh, wait, but their life is not in shambles. They didn't, because they found themselves. And it's just like, you know what? Good for them. You know, like they found somewhere, like, and it, like, you know, it's
when you're first new, though. Like, I poured so much into you.
Yeah, it takes time, but you see.
I've been with you in the hospitals. I walked you through this or that, and then you're like, we're leaving. You're like, what?
Well, but it makes me think about like my parents' pastors, right? Like, because I never thought about that. Like, but here we are. Generations later, like someone pastored my parents and their parents.
Oh, for sure.
And you know, we didn't stay in that town or in that church, but it's like, oh, there was a there was something
God
beautiful
does call
that happened.
New places.
Yeah, and so that that's kind of cool. I know we talked about some of the pendulum swing from the maybe abuse of shepherding or whatever
people's
hang-ups.
I think people have seen it that way.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. The other side, though, that I wanted to bring up to you guys is. Maybe not, you know, even secondhand offense from abuses of those things. But then there's also the side of, well, I am being shepherded, pastored by Pastor so-and-so from three states away or this church online or so on and so forth. And we bless those ministries that are doing great things. I'm glad. I mean, even this podcast is an extra form of media for people to be blessed and not shepherded, but guided. But there are the people that will kind of land on just kind of floating around. And I, again, I'm not trying to bash any of that, but can we, would you guys mind speaking into the value of, and maybe even encouraging someone like, hey, if you like that ministry, go to that ministry, like plant yourself there, and why the value of having a local church pastor?
Well, can I just start really quick with, I think it's very good because your pastor's going to rub you the wrong way. He's going to say things you don't agree with.
Yeah.
He's going to make you laugh. He's going. You're going to enjoy his messages. Whoever your pastor is not always going to be exactly what you want to hear. But you're going to have to sit in that congregation. There may be even Sundays that you're bored. You're like, oh my gosh, okay, why?
Not in my church.
And honestly, I think all of that is good because that is.
I didn't amen, Pastor Dan.
It's learning. It's
laughed at my jokes.
How to like. Be in a family and do the hard things and not just leave when I'm bored or when it doesn't please my needs or when it makes me comfortable, but I'm sitting under someone and I'm choosing to allow them to speak into my life because I believe God is speaking to them. And if I follow them and I'm in submission to my pastor and I'm going to listen to what the words are that come out of his mouth and I'm going to, I see it in the word, I see it in my prayer time and it lines up, man, that's going to be a building and an edifying of my soul and my spirit. Even when I have maybe the harder weeks or the, I don't know, that wasn't for me. They're talking about marrieds and I'm single and or whatever. You're going to get something just by being faithful in that. And God, I think, tests us in staying in the game and in a church and a part of a family when it's good and bad and wonderful and extremely awesome, right? Like, so that's part of being a part of a family in a church. And a pastor isn't always going to meet all of your needs. I heard this
we're not Jesus.
No. Yeah. This morning I was listening to a pastor I respect and I love, and they had mentioned something on one of their podcasts, and I was like, ooh, I don't actually agree with that theologically. And it's like the first time I've ever felt that way.
Yeah.
And I heard the Lord, because there's something that the Lord had spoke to me about personally. And the Lord goes, not every man will know everything. What I told you to stick with. And I went, okay.
Yep.
Thank you, Lord. And it was just like, it freed my heart because it was like, God bless him.
So you don't have to throw him out.
I mean, I'm not going to say everything right.
Right.
You know, and he's not going to say everything right. And, you know, the pastor down the street's not going to say everything right. We're never going to get it right.
Right.
We are servants following the greatest master. His name is Jesus.
The great shepherd.
And trying to speak into your life so that we can build you up so you can go out and be evangelist for Jesus. Not just these, like, you know, boring Christians that are doing nothing for Christ, but hopefully we're pouring something into the body so that they can go out and be better, stronger, build their families, grow their families according to the word of God, train up their children in the way they should go. That's what pastoring is.
Yeah. I would say this, and this is the reason why I had this phone that I dropped earlier. Let me just quickly, don't look at my passcode there. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 17 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. As those who must give an account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And I love that scripture because it talks about the blessing of having a pastor in your life.
It is a blessing.
And I think that you know, I've often said this when I've done the membership class here at The Rock, and that is that if, you know, you appreciate someone online, that's great. But if you're in the hospital, they're not coming to your bedside. Mm-hmm. It's a pastor from your church, right? And, you know, in a church our size, it may not be me specifically. Mm-hmm. It might be me.
Right.
I still do hospital visits to this day, you know, even though I have a large church.
Yep.
You know, like I said, I did a spiritual guidance session with one of our members a couple of weeks ago. Mm. Now, my schedule, because of my teaching schedule, and because when I ask myself the question, what's the most important thing that I can do? I can be in the Word and I can be in prayer. Those are the two most important things that I can do, because on Saturday and Sunday morning and whatever other church services that
Wednesdays,
I preach at,
Fridays,
those are the times where I'm flowing in the calling and the anointing that God has given me, the mantle to pastor and shepherd this church as a greater scale.
The Word changes people.
Absolutely. It's the Word that works in our lives. But I still do hospital visits.
Yeah.
I still do spiritual guidance. And someone from this church, if they're in this church, is going to get some sort of communication, some sort of a prayer, some sort of a visit, you know, from someone. You know, the person on the podcast most likely will not be the one baptizing you.
Right.
Now, there may be special events you can drive out to and they'll baptize you. That's great.
Yeah, but who's your connection?
But really, when we talk about being shepherded, being in a flock, you know what I mean? There's proximity that's there. And I believe that's why it's important to attend church in the building, too, is because of the proximity. You know, do not forsake the assemblings of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. That's Hebrews chapter 10, right? Mm-hmm. And so we understand that there is an importance of us gathering. That's what you mentioned, Ecclesia. That's the church of the gathered, assembled saints of God, right? Now, people can gather online, but there's still a distance. There's still something that's separating, right? And as much as I've had times, you know, especially 2020 and then when we've been on vacation, there have been moments where God showed up in our room when we were live streaming, you know.
Totally.
Nothing like when I've been in the
grace,
building.
Though, I think.
Special grace. Yeah, special grace.
Sometimes I've had to stay home sick or something with kids or me.
Yeah.
And you've gone and I was watching online and you came home and you were like, oh, my gosh, it was just so thick. The presence of God was so thick. And I'm like, really? I didn't catch that online.
Yeah.
And I was bummed I missed out.
Yeah. Of course.
And so, like, I do think that during 2020, there was a special grace.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's
not
where
that you can't, but.
No. And even on vacation, we've had moments. I mean, I remember one vacation. I was on my face before the Lord. Now, again, we were gathered as a family. And so, you know, two or more are gathered. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And so even our family, God shows up in the midst of his church. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that I'm not saying that, you know, small churches or house churches aren't church.
Wonderful, yeah.
They absolutely are. All over the world.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that if you're saying that watching a sermon online or live stream or that sort of a thing.
Who's not a pastor.
And podcasts where I just get a lot out of them. That's great. I'm glad you get a lot out of them, and I'm glad that you enjoy that. That, to me, is supplemental to the mainstay of having a pastor sitting under a collected thought, a thought process. That when I say doctrine, it's systems of teaching, right? And that's where it's important to sit under a pastor who is delivering a system of teaching that you can understand and that you can grow by. That's part of the feed the flock of God, right?
Yeah.
That there is a consistent diet. Because I know me, you know, when I'm on live stream, my mind is everywhere else. I'm going to the bathroom. I'm getting something to eat. I'm getting a drink. I'm thinking about what the kids are doing because they got bored and now they're off.
People can't even watch movies without playing a game on
I mean, everybody's you got one thing on the television
and
you know, five people in a house and all five of them have a phone in their hand and no one's connecting to the one thing, you know, and that's
like,
where
if I'm renting this movie, everybody's off their phones.
Phones off. We're watching it together.
Renting this movie.
We're going to talk about it afterwards, you know.
Report.
But see, that's where I believe it's important to have that proximity to come and shake a pastor's hand at the back door, to tell them they did a good job, to talk to them about what God is doing in your life, to be able to call a church and say, hey, we just went through a tragedy. Can someone come?
Yeah.
You know, who's doing the funeral? Who knows the family?
Yeah.
You know, who was there with you when you had the baby? Who walked that baby through their life so that when they're graduating, they're there with a card saying, hey, congratulations. I mean, as shepherds, as pastors, we literally walk through life with the sheep that God entrusts us with.
Well, and I know you guys don't just say this. You back this up. You know, at our church, you guys have made the investment to have a financial investment, a time investment to have multiple associate pastors.
Absolutely.
So that if there was just you guys, if it was just a personality thing, there wouldn't be enough
We would let everybody down.
People, I mean, took the line to get a spiritual guidance. But there are several pastors on staff that oversee different ministries and areas. So maybe you're not talking to Pastor Dan, but you can get a spiritual guidance. You call the front desk. You're going to see a pastor within a couple weeks.
Absolutely.
And Pastor Dan and I are talking to our pastors,
right.
And we trust our pastors.
Right.
So we're not just giving you somebody right. we wouldn't trust.
So there is ample ways to – I mean, you can have – so many people have my personal phone number. There's ample ways. You're going to be able to see a pastor in the foyer around campus. It's not there's no celebrities around here in terms of we don't talk to people. I mean, we're in the foyers. Come and talk to us. We're real people.
Yeah.
Come, you know, definitely. We love – Especially playing with your kids and hanging out with your families and going to birthday parties. That's just some of the things that we do to create a family atmosphere, which your online family probably doesn't do that. And again, we're not bashing the online.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I want to bring this up, the follow-up question, is because, again, there is a spiritual buffet online that you can go to
Absolutely.
For this pastor or
and
that topic and this and that.
I've listened to them.
And they're
amazing.
Great. The challenge is now maybe the question that I want to pose is how do we unlearn and get ourselves in a place where we can be okay with the rub, the uncomfortable topics, and someone who will actually not just agree with me? Because, again, we can go on any specific topic. And, again, there are people that have made their following off of certain topics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that guy. He talks like this about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we pick our spirit, you know, have it your way. Yeah. We used to say like the Burger King way.
It's
like
totally how
you
it
pick
is.
The, and then I get, so then no one is against me because I have the buffet for whatever I want. And I've created my perfect pastor.
Perfect
but then
plate,
that's a Frankenstein, isn't that?
Yeah.
Right? Like I've created, like there is no perfect pastor, but someone who's going to be in there with you. And why is that even important?
Mm-hmm.
There's an old joke that was circulating around, long time ago about a pastoral search party for a church in Jerusalem in AD 33 or whatever it was. And they talked about all the different apostles and what was wrong with them. You know, Peter had fits of rage and blew up and, you know, could be prone to violence. You know, they had all the kind of quirks, you know, and they went through and they even went through Jesus and talked about how he got in people's faces, you know, and how he rubbed people the wrong way.
Yeah.
And the one that they land on at the end of this, you know, fictitious search party is Judas.
Yeah.
He's good with money. He's liked, he's got connections with the priest, you know, and so that's where they landed, you know, and it's like, so I think that's a poignant way of pointing us to the direction of like, hey, if you're looking for the perfect pastor, you're not going to find him.
Yeah.
No.
And Jesus rubbed people the wrong way. I mean, in the best way possible, because you think about it, he was perfect, right? And there were people, I mean, the woman at the well, I think, is a great example. He called out what was going on in her life. Even in the scripture, whether you believe it's a part of the original or not, the story of Jesus with the woman caught in adultery. Mm-hmm. He offered her where are your accusers? Neither do I accuse you, but then go and sin no more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was always a clear-cut direction from Jesus. She may not have liked that, right?
Yeah.
The woman at the well may not have liked being told you have five husbands. Zacchaeus, you know, here's a guy coming down, and just the presence of Jesus, which pastors understand very well. All of a sudden, they start confessing their sin, and you know, I show up to a, like you said, birthday party, and somebody who hasn't been in church in weeks, pastor, I haven't been around in weeks, but you know what, my wife and
we've
been.
Caller on today.
It's no. What happened there?
Let's go
behind
this veil over here.
Yeah, really.
We're kind of the party poopers at parties now.
Yeah,
Do you notice that? Are you? I'm a party pooper.
The music's loud. Everybody's humming, all that kind of stuff. We walk in and,
it's literally happened to us.
Yeah, it's been.
And then we walked out the door. Do you remember that?
And you're, hey.
We were new pastors. And as soon as we left, the music came back on and everybody was like lively. But as soon as we came in, everything went off and they were like very well put together.
Yeah.
And I was like, we can't go to parties.
So if you wonder why we don't go to the parties that much, that's...
We want you to actually have fun.
Yeah, go have fun. Don't let us be
the
party pooper. But, I mean, here's Zacchaeus in the presence of Jesus. He starts to... And Jesus commends him in that moment. You know, and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, I mean, they all got tongue lashings. And but, I mean, even the disciples. There were times where the disciples had a certain thought and a certain direction, and Jesus had to correct. You're not going to find a pastor, a real pastor, I'll say this, that's not going to rub you the wrong way at times. Or
no perfect pastor.
Would you listen to Jesus' podcast?
Yeah, right. Ooh.
Right? Like, would you? Or would you like, I don't like that guy. You know,
yeah.
No, you know, I was thinking so, about the, like, this, from the new so generation. He's so that,
right? Like, yeah. Because it's the same kind of deal. Well, yeah. I like this. I like that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, because can we handle some of these things? And again, this is not to put anybody down. Right. Really, we just want to encourage people to challenge themselves to do what the Word of God is telling us to do, and to sit on. And if you don't like that church, hey, how about pick up a broom, get your hands busy to do something in that church to make it better.
But what if God is like rubbing us the wrong way and putting us in hard situations to change us?
Right.
Because he doesn't ever put us in a situation where everything is comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It's because iron sharpens iron. And that's what you're going to experience when you go to church or when you sit under a pastor.
Yeah.
And iron sharpens iron. Yes, we get sharper and we get better and we get like precise.
Yeah.
But sparks fly in that process. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be, you know, conflict, and there's going to have to be resolution. You're going to have to learn forgiveness. You're going to have to learn how to overcome offense. I mean, all of those things. And
those are all skill sets for a better life in every area of your life.
Absolutely. It is. And I think God knew that we were all so different. And I'm going to put them all together and let's see how they handle each other, you know? Yeah. And I think pastors, I want to go back to what I opened up with. Yes, I saw a lot of things that I didn't understand as a young person. But I will tell you, I know more good pastors than I know bad pastors.
Absolutely.
More good pastors than bad. Most pastors that I've ever been around love God deeply and love people deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very committed to the congregation that God has given them. And I'm sad to see that there's not honoring. I mean, we've even coming on, we've been in the senior pastor role for 10 years, but we've had to be like, hey, like, you need to honor. Mm-hmm. Like, and we've had to teach honor to our staff. Yeah. And constantly, more staff we get, more we're having to teach them. And because they're young and they don't know, they haven't been taught to honor. And it's the language of heaven.
Right.
If you want the favor of God in your life, you need to honor the authority over you. God will cover you. It's that I'm a woman, so submission's not hard for me, you know, as a godly woman.
It isn't?
No. I think I do a good job. Actually.
You do great. I'm joking, of course.
I was like, don't even play. And but I noticed that maybe men have a harder time because they don't always have to walk in that, like, in the marriage role.
And but pride is a bigger thing with men, I believe. Yeah. I know that everyone deals with it on some
women
levels. But
it comes out in insecurity for
women. Yeah, for men, it can be like, well, no, you need to honor me. Yeah. You know, and that's the distortion of the honor culture.
And we become a culture that stares at ourselves a lot and looks at what benefits me and how what's good for me, what's good for my... I don't know if you hear me, I a lot.
Yeah.
And in the body of Christ, as a pastor, we can't be that way.
Yeah.
It's not about us. Like... Our children have even been told, this is not about you.
Yeah.
Like, you're in this with us.
Yeah.
And this is something God has called our family to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you are old enough, you don't have to become a pastor. But I remember all of my siblings, there's four of us, we all said, we will not be in ministry. We don't want it. We saw the sacrifice. We saw the pain. We saw the hurt. We saw the good. We saw the fun. We saw the amazing things that came with it.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to go in the business world. We want to go be a nurse. I wanted to go be a nurse. You know, my other sisters wanted to go be accountants and all these other things. And Luke, I think he wanted to be an architect. Or, and now we're all pastoring because God has a way of nurturing things in us, and that we were running from what was hard.
Mm-hmm.
But it may not be like celebrity. I hate when there is celebrity pastor because I'm almost like, whatever, that's just dumb. Let's honor each other. Because there's nothing celebrity about us. Mm-hmm. The only celebrity in our world is Jesus.
Come on.
Yep.
And he's the only one we look to and strive to lead people to. This is not about us in this lifetime.
Yeah.
And
that's the misnomer. Honor is self-serving. Honor is honor me.
No.
But I think there is something that unlocks within us.
It does.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When we honor others, when we are able to... not it's the preference, prefer others, and the Bible tells us to do that, to prefer them, to do more for them, and I think those are really tough, and especially in a current society that says go get yours, you know, and we talk, you know, go do what's best for your family, go move away where you guys can be safe and raise generation, and those are all beautiful sounding things.
Yeah.
I think my challenge to that sometimes goes is where is the serving aspect of
and
that?
And there's been the
where's
negative of honoring. Yeah. You know, I think that, like, we've seen churches abuse people. I haven't.
Yeah.
I have not been part of those churches, but I've heard stories
of,
you know, pastors that use that honoring thing to control their staff or maybe their congregation. And that is an ungodly environment to be in.
Yeah.
there should not be that control, but there's a beautiful honor mm-hmm. that does come. And I will, I knew I was thinking about Pastor Joey, you know, he is the most honoring person you are to Pastor Antonio. Yeah. And you know, Pastor Joey, God was calling him to new things and new places, and he's been nothing but honoring through that process. And I really appreciated it because, you know, as much as we were sad to see him go and our hearts were breaking, he was honoring. And I believe God is blessing him and his family now because of that honor. Mm. I don't think for any other reason. I think that's why he's blessed.
Well, if I could point out, in the scripture that I read in Hebrews, it said that there was a reward that comes from God, right? That benefits the individual who gives the honor, right? So in doing what you're doing by honoring your pastor, listening to what they have to say, being submissive, right? There's a reward that comes into your life.
Yeah. Yes.
So when you, even with the selfish motivation of what's best for me, well, what's best for you is what God says.
Yeah.
To honor those that rule over you,
right?
And be submissive because then that's beneficial for you. There's a benefit for your life. Yeah.
God wants to benefit.
God wants to bless you. God wants to benefit you.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad motivation because God gave us the motivation, right? Yeah. And so as we do that, man, it will just unlock and open doors. Yeah.
I know I've reaped the fruit of that myself, you know, in sitting in tough conversations with you guys, people, but the beauty in the covering in hearing uncomfortable, having those uncomfortable conversations is just like, but there's a beauty in the covering because I know that there's a grace on your leaders to look out for your soul, to see blind spots that I can't see because I'm in my own way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But my pastors, my leaders are graced to see stuff that I can't.
For sure.
And but God when we that. Don't do that, when we... Again, when we pick and choose, we don't have people in our lives that will point out blind spots.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Like, what happens to these people? Mm-hmm. Because who's really able to look them in the eye and be like, are you sure this is the right decision for your life? Yeah. You know, like, I know you're singing this and you're hearing this and you're really feeling it. But, like, have you brought this into fasting and praying? Have you challenging them? Mm-hmm. To go deep with God in these things, you know.
I don't tell people what to do. We see in the Lord's Prayer, He leads us beside still waters. I just try to lead people towards a decision that they're going to make. Ask the questions, like you said, Pastor Dan. I know you do the same thing. Ask the tough questions. Well, what would happen if this? What do you think about this? I'm not saying you got to go do that. Hey, I'll say you got to read the Bible and hear from God. But I'm going to lead you besides the still waters that God makes still, that He brings peace to.
And you make decisions. And the Lord will speak to you. Have you ever been in those spiritual guidance appointments or at the back door or right after a service and somebody comes up to you and they're telling you, I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I get the craziest stories and I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. How am I supposed to respond to this? I mean, inside I'm like talking to God.
And you get the download. Boom.
Yeah. This and he'll give me a scripture or he'll give me the exact way to lead them to find what it is that they need. And I'm like, that was cool.
Yeah.
And I walk away going, that was not me.
Right. It's
that
grace.
Was the Holy Spirit.
Well, word of wisdom and word of knowledge is operation in that moment, right? As pastors, we're called to be filled with the Spirit and to flow in the gifts of the Spirit for the benefit and the edification of believers, right? And not that believers don't have those gifts too. They do.
Yeah.
You know? And but I mean, like, I'll tell you, I've seen Pastor Joel at the altar.
Yeah.
People were on their knees before the Lord, and that He's calling things out by word of knowledge. This person's dealing with this. This person's dealing with that. Why would He know that?
Yep.
So we can pray for them, so that we can know what God is doing in their lives, and so that we can guide them to those still waters, right? To those greener pastures. Yep. Hey, if they're dealing with that, then I'm going to minister to them in this way.
Yep.
So those are all things that are, again, a benefit to the believer
when
they're in a church
under a pastor. We have to keep our hearts right for the people.
Right.
Like, we're constantly like, okay, we need to...
Checking ourselves.
We're getting crabby. What's going on? Right. You know, and like, we have to check ourselves because we need some rest or, you know, I'm just irritated with all the things going on in the world and it is getting to me. I am human too, and I'm bothered by it. And we have to talk those things through and we have to...
Yeah.
We have to work those things out, you know.
Yeah.
We've been in unforgiveness towards people and we've had to deal with it right away. Yeah. And then that's a process. You might think, oh, I've handled it.
Yeah.
But, you know, pastors deal with these things too, you know. There's so many aspects to being a pastor that we've got to keep got to guard our hearts. We've got to keep ourselves so that we can have that download when people need it.
Well, right before we press record, we were kind of listing off some of our war stories of instances of kind of those kind of things where maybe we've been hurt, but we were able to laugh at them, right? And collectively we're gathering and kind of laughing and like, oh yeah, no, that, oh, this happened. And those we have to keep. In other words, if we couldn't laugh or we couldn't bring them up, then our hearts get heavy and we get tainted to how we see people.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes happens for pastors.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, have grace on your pastors. You know, we're blessed to be able to have honest conversation.
Yeah. We're human too.
So I don't know if either one of you want to pray for us as we conclude, pray for the people listening, that they, again, the challenge for everybody, the question we're answering is, are pastors important? Do we need pastors? Yes. It's a resounding yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I would just, I'll close and maybe you can pray. But, you know, Jeremiah chapter 3, I believe it's verse 15, somewhere in there, talks about how God is speaking. And he says, I'll give you shepherds after my own heart. Mm. And that is a gift, right? Ephesians chapter 4, he gave gifts unto men, right? Mm-hmm. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors. Yeah. It's a gift to the body of Christ. And so if you don't have a pastor, I would encourage you, find a local church that teaches the Bible and that you're going to be able to sit under a pastor who loves you. Would you pray, Pastor Jess?
Yeah, well, let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for this time and this conversation. First and foremost, I thank you, God, for allowing us at this table to all be pastors and to shepherd a flock, Lord, and to love them, Lord. They're just beautiful people that we get to be a part of their lives, Lord, and lead them closer to you. And so, Lord, bless the congregation. Bless the members, God. Bless the people that are connected to different houses, Lord. And, Lord, we pray over the pastors. Lord, I pray over their hearts, over their families, Lord. Thank you for the sacrifices that they have given, Lord, to step into the ministry, Lord. And God, I pray, God, you go before them with favor. I pray that you'd speak in a fresh anointing. Lord, I pray, God, that there'd be a goodness that falls on the house, on the ecclesia of God over our nation and in other nations, Lord. We thank you for every person that steps into a pulpit and preaches your word, Lord. Let the rhema word go forth, Lord, and break the power of the enemy, Lord, and strip his assignments on their lives, Lord. And I pray that as they speak, that the love of God would reign, that it would pour out on congregations, pour out over the Rock Church, pour out over every church that is represented and listening right now, Lord. And we thank you, God, for the church of the living God. We thank you for the pastors that shepherd and lead these churches. And we thank you for the congregation, Lord, that sits under their pastor, Lord. Let them have a favor and honor and a blessing for them. Thank you for the pastors that they keep themselves, Lord, and that they're holy before you, God. And Lord, we love you and we thank you for just the opportunity to pastor people, Lord. We appreciate that and we cherish you, God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
And as always, like, comment, share, subscribe. Man, we love you guys. We'll see you next time. God bless you. I'm looking at all the cameras. So.